This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Weegar across to the left circle. Quick shot by Huberdeau. Where is it? Is it in? Nobody knows. The Flames are celebrating. And I think this found its way past Kevin Lankin and into the top of the net. Pettersson, who gets it right corner. Pettersson to the line, Mancini, long wrist shot, stop, rebound, they score! Elias Pettersson to the side of the net, beats a sprawling Dustin Wolf after Mancini got it through on net from the line, and the Canucks tie the game at three.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Connor Garland to win it for the Canucks a day after his 29th birthday, and he'll skate wide onto the left wing. In on Dustin Wolf. Garland in the slot, he scores! Connor Garland wins it in the shootout for the Canucks. It's a smash and grab in Calgary. And Vancouver wins for the first time this season when trailing after two periods. The final score, the Canucks 4 and the Flames 3.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Biggest game of the season, Canucks edge the Calgary Flames 4-3 in a shootout. Stay alive in the playoff race. Draft season will have to wait another day, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. When we were talking about, you know, Canucks lose tonight, do you put a fork in them this season? So a draft season, the folders remain closed for the time being. We'll see what happens over the course of the weekend, but you know, we talk about regulation being important, but nonetheless, Canucks got one more point in the Flames. Now it's tied with them in points. Calgary has a game in hand, but very much remain in a thick of the playoff race. A huge goal from Elias Pettersson to tie things up. And then Connor Garland gets the game winner with a shootout winner to help the Canucks win. And get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text line box, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. But before we bring Rand Deep in here, Bick, I mean, it's a game the Canucks had to have, and it looked like they weren't going to get it heading into the third. And they do something they haven't done all year, a third period comeback to get a victory.
Stunning. 0-19-4. And yeah, they managed to pull this one back and carry it all the way straight through to the shootout. And a pretty good overtime as well. They controlled pretty much the entire overtime. There's one 2-on-1 chance for the Flames. Mm-hmm. But they were methodical with it, constantly resetting. And again, could they have played a bit more active in overtime, all that? Sure, but I like the strategy of it, of retain the puck, limit Calgary's opportunities, and look for your own over the course of the 5 minutes. And they had a couple of chances there, obviously hit a post as well. So that comeback, it required every little bit of scratching and clawing. But you know what? Like, we're desperate to see this team show a little desperation. Mm-hmm. And it came through a rebound and a fortunate bounce. But there's Pettersson to bury it. And I know Rick Tocchet's been harping on this. Some of these rebound chances haven't been falling for us. And Suter had one earlier as well. So to see that one go in, and then just the way they kind of carried that through the rest of the way.
Yeah, and Randeep, I mean, they needed this one so badly. And, you know, just getting to overtime would have kept you in it. But getting that extra point, you can't really dismiss how important it is in the big picture here.
Yeah, boys, they were hungry in the third period. 17 shots to 4 for Vancouver. And through 40 minutes, the 5-on-5 game wasn't strong. Most of their work was done on the power play. That first goal was done at the end of a power play. But in the third period, they really turned it up, guys. And the shots on goal are one thing, but high dangers were heavily in their favor. And I mentioned it before the third period started, where you have to dig deep. This is the most important period of your season at this point anyways. And they brought it. There was a sense of urgency that we haven't really seen from this team. And, there's that famous saying from Rick Tocchet of breaking the seal, so to speak. I think they broke it in the third period, guys. They brought the effort. They brought the intensity. And, it's no coincidence that Quinn Hughes returned today. And not only did he play a solid game with nearly 30 minutes of ice time, his team responded in the third period in overtime as well.
Well, let's start with him, because just seeing him back, you could see the sting get taken out of the game a lot, because he was able to just control it and flow it at his speed. And he makes unnatural plays look natural. Like the DeBrusk power play goal, that's a fantastic take off the wall. And even to accelerate away from Huberdeau to generate that opportunity to get it to Pettersson and get it back to him. Like he's sharp. And as you mentioned, 29 minutes and 51 seconds tonight.
Guys, it's wild. Total possession time tonight, 4 minutes and 19 seconds. The next closest was Elias Pettersson with 158. Like,
it's comical. Like, he does this so often.
And it's fully recognized that he's probably not 100%. He's, even if he, you know, the fatigue factor and coming back and missing games, you know, having that experience of not playing games in a while here, and he comes back with that sort of effort. First of all, you got to be fired up as a teammate. And I think for the first 40 minutes, this team played a little quiet. Even though there's, you know, chippy moments and all that, I felt like in the third period, they really puffed their chest out. And the captain has a lot to do with that. This guy's playing hurt. He's taken hits all night long too, but he still gets out there and he plays more than half the overtime. So how you cannot be motivated after seeing, you know, your best player, the guy that's wearing a C, go out there for nearly half an hour tonight and play that style of game and just give them that thing that they've been missing, right? Whether it's dancing at the blue line, whether it's giving them a little bit more time to create offense. And I think just having him on the ice as well, it's got to pump up the guys to say, all right, we got our super weapon back. But at the same time, we know he's not right. We got to win this for him.
Yeah, they really did. And I think it's one of those games, too, here where they needed somebody other than Quinn Hughes to step up. And Garland gets the winner in the shootout, massive one. But a huge game from Elias Pettersson, gets an assist, gets a goal, scores in the shootout as well. I mean, you know, that's not to say his season has turned around or he's back, but 3 goals in 4 games. They desperately needed Pettersson to have a big game, and he responded tonight.
Totally. And, you know, that third period to me was a total meet pressure with pressure moment. And with Elias Pettersson, that line started to click 5-on-5. And who was going to provide that, you know, that response to Calgary? Remember, Calgary was the team that was rested. But Vancouver in that third period, the team that played the back-to-back, they look more energized. And it was led by, you know, DeBrusque, Pettersson, and Nils Höglander. And I'm sure we're going to talk about Höglander at some point, but I thought Elias Pettersson, the way he was able to, the kind of game kind of slowed down for him in the third period where you saw him make plays, you saw him, you know, not necessarily rush decisions. And for him to find that rebound after he makes the play to Mancini, Mancini gets a shot through, and just across the board, I thought there was a much more motivated an energized period from Elias Pettersson. Even the way he was tracking back into his own zone, guys, like he was taking the body, he was third man high, he was going down low to break out pucks. So this was a, you know, I know there's been a lot of discussion about Pettersson games and how good they've been, but that third period specifically, his team needed that, he brought it.
The one who gets that shot off before Pettersson's goal, Victor Mancini, a lot of text coming in about Mancini. And in a night, again, Elias Pettersson leaves the game, obviously. And so it helps with the inflated numbers for Quinn Hughes. But also, like, Victor Mancini needed to play 18:32, gets the assist, and looked lively as well in that third period, Randy.
For sure he did. And, you know, there was, I think, his overall puck skills and the ability to, whether it's the first time or the second time, to get the puck out. Like, even if there's a moment in his own zone where he's not able to clear the puck or make a pass, he sticks with it. So I like that, where he doesn't compound mistakes. But in the third period, we saw more of that offense. You talk about that shot that Pettersson ends up picking up the rebound for and scoring. That's him identifying, I got some room here. I can step into that shot from the right-hand side. There was a play where Marcus Pettersson hit him as the trailer on a play in regulation as well. Another great opportunity, and he's starting to show some offense in his game. He's not going to wow you by being a Quinn Hughes 2.0 or light version of him, but the fact that he played 18 minutes and 32 seconds tonight, guys, he chipped in with some offense, getting an assist, had a couple of other opportunities, and is responsible in his own zone. Four block shots tonight, too. You know, he played a pretty quiet game in the previous ones where you're saying, hey, you're not seeing Mancini too much on the defensive side of things. That's a good thing. Well, you saw him on the offensive side. You saw that shot that we've heard a lot of, and he doesn't hesitate to get it off, and it led to a goal tonight. So very impressed by his game tonight. I thought he played a fantastic third period, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those games where, you know, I saw somebody mention that it was like happy to begin with, angry in the second, and then elated again at the end. She went through all the emotions in this hockey game. And I think Nils Höglander's game was kind of mirrored in that way. Like, he had a lot of great moments, had that poor penalty too, but the Canucks were able to kill it off. But he was a real catalyst, especially in the third. The Canucks needed juice. They needed somebody to really drag them into and create some chances. And even though Höglander made some mistakes, and that's kind of the Höglander experience, but, you know, I'm not sure you get the spark if Hoagie wasn't doing his thing in the third.
I totally agree with that. And that jump was going on early on in the game. And, you know, it's been the case for the last three or four games. I think he's been fairly consistent in that regard, where he's bringing the intensity, he's getting the attention of the opposition, they're trying to go after him in scrums, and that's the part of his game that he can never stray too far away from. That's who he is. But guys, in this game, whether it was being physical in the forecheck, he was carrying the puck, that goal that Pettersson eventually ends up scoring, him and Jake DeBrusk, you know, connect in the neutral zone, and they gain the zone. But, you know, eventually that leads to a goal. But even earlier on in that period, when they're down 3-2, right before the penalty, he's also bringing that aggressive forecheck. He's bringing, you know, engaging in battles in Calgary's zone and just extending the play in the offensive zone by a couple of seconds, getting his teammates involved. So I think with Nils Höglander, you're right, there was that mistake where he gives away the puck at the attacking blue line and ends up taking that penalty on Coronado, but the good heavily outweighed the negative with Nils Höglander. That was one mistake. Well, guys, six shots on goal, overall 9 shot attempts, and it started early on in the game where he had that shot coming down the right-hand side from Dustin Wolf, had to make a blocker save. I thought he was, even in, when this team looked pretty shaky in the second periods, he was one of those players that was at least trying to get his team, you know, back into the game and was consistent throughout. So I don't know what this means for Nils Höglander long term. That's a conversation for another day. But the last 4 or 5, maybe 6 games that he's put together have really been strong, and he's put in a great individual effort.
I don't know if this is the banner Kevin Lankinen game, but hey, in shootout, like, there he was. And he had a couple of key moments as well, but a tough spot, like season on the line in a shootout, and he made a couple of big saves.
For sure. And the shootout was like everything they tried to go glove side on him. He basically, whether it was a full stretch or, you know, he denied it. The only time that he was beaten was the 5-hole by Huberdeau. And yeah, the Canucks needed that, guys. And there was a couple other saves, obviously, throughout the game. I think there was one on Kadri, whether it was in the third period when it was 3-2, and Hronek and Marcus Pettersson kind of drifted to the right-hand side on the power play for Calgary and left the middle of the ice wide open. Drew O'Connor also drifted to that side. Huge save at that point. If it goes 4-2, we might be saying goodbye to a potential playoff opportunity for Vancouver in this game. So not only big in the shootout, but I thought in the third period, guys, that was a huge save which kept his team in it. And what happens shortly thereafter, the Canucks start to create some offense and then eventually tie the game up, but certainly not many chances for Calgary in the third period, but that was a big one.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to hit with you here, Randy, before we let you go, and because it's a late game, we got to really truncate everything here, but Steve Onsanage says, massive dub, please rip the refs, what a joke. And I think the main reason Steve and a lot of Canucks fans were upset, it's another storyline and a big one from this game, and we'll await what head coach Rick Tocchet has to say about the status of his young defenseman, Elias Pettersson, who left the game after the first period, and we don't know what the reason is, but I think we can all surmise that it has something to do with Connor Zary throwing an elbow forehead into the back of his head after he threw a really nice, clean, open ice hit at the blue line on Nazem Kadri. And we kind of missed it in real time. We watching, you have to like really watch it on replay, and Josh Ellie Wolf did a good job of putting it out on social media. But when you watch it after in the period, and you get a sense of like, this was a really dirty hit, and maybe the refs missed it, but that probably should have been a 5 in a game. And now we wonder if DPD's hurt and that's a dirty elbow, could Connor Zary be facing supplemental discipline?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Real time, you don't really get that angle because it's kind of behind the play. But, you know, that was something that once you see it full clean view, and I know the guys on TV were discussing it as well, that's a greasy play. That's a dirty play, elbow, forearm, whatever you want to call it, from a player that's not facing you. And for the officials, and this is what, you know, ticks me off when it comes to, you know, officiating in the league, is that if you have an official, I don't care where, maybe it's on in press row, maybe it's in the crowd somewhere, they can make that call. They might have access to that third replay that you're looking for. That's a dirty play. That should potentially get, you know, 5 in a game. If you're targeting a player's head and it's also retaliatory, it's targeted, 2 minutes is not enough. And you're talking about a player that might be, I don't know, obviously you think head injury when anytime somebody's hitting the head, obviously. But guys, yeah, I'm with you. I think that is something that they need to look at. There's a couple of other calls or non-calls in this game. Those are more minor, but something like that, this is why you need, you know, more officials to kind of look at that and basically talk to the official on the ice to say, hey, you missed something. That was, you hope that the kid's all right, because I love that hit. Him stepping up on Nazem Kadri on that play, making sure that he keeps Nazem Kadri honest. And Kadri looked back. Kadri can understand that. He's thrown that hit numerous times in his own career. But the fact that Zary goes out of his way and gives him that cheap shot, absolutely hate that play, and I thought it should have been penalized a lot more.
Randeep, great stuff, man. Big win, great call alongside Batch. And we can't open up the draft season folders yet, and I'm happy about that. A big back-to-back coming up on the weekend, so we look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Yeah, that was a fun one to call, guys. We were full of energy the way Batch threw to you guys at the end of the game. I think you picked that up. That was a fun one, and now they're tied. I know Calgary has a tiebreaker, but still, you know, this is the home stretch here, the next, 17, 18 games, and it'll be fun.
Canucks remain in the thick of it, right? It's a huge one here tonight. Great stuff, Randy. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, boys.
That is your game review. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet the 2025 Honda CR-V Hybrid, where rates from 2.49%. Visit bchonda.ca. That's a blemish in the game. It's a status of Elias Pettersson, who has played so well. And what an incredible open ice hit on Nazem Kadri in this game.
That was awesome. That was like one of the best hits of the season.
And it was a stupid play by Zary, because he goes after the guy and it leads to a penalty and there's no reason for it. But it worked out for them, I guess, because DPD was out for the rest of the game. Now, they lost Michael Backlund after he tried to throw a hit on Victor Mancini as well. But nonetheless, I mean, it was a dirty play by Zary, especially when you get to see it afterwards and really be able to comprehend what actually happened. A really dirty play by him, and we hope that DPD is all right. Before we take a phone call and hit the break, Bick, what is happening in the Dunbar Lumber text line box, 650-650? Canucker says 11.6 slander is suspended until further notice. All right, duly noted.
Elsewhere in the inbox, this one, Dex, I know it's early, Mancini, Hedl, Marcus Pedersen, and O'Connor for Miller. Trade is looking better by the day. Caden in Abbotsford, the vibes are back, Petey is back, Hughes is back, Legs has always been here. Flame schedule looks rough, and we just needed to crack down on bad giveaways and breakaways, and this team can look deadly. That's Caden in Abbotsford. And look, it's a lot of Mancini love coming into the inbox here, 650, 650. Really liking what I'm seeing from Mancini. Feels like he could be the Garland in the OEL trade. So different perspectives there on the Miller trade. One, it's akin to the OEL trade, and the other one, it's look at the return that they got in that from different people coming in the inbox here, 650, 650.
And listen, it's the pendulum. It swings and wins.
Oh, yeah.
You feel good. Losses feel bad. But hey, listen, there haven't been a lot of good vibes, so enjoy the vibes and ride the wave when you get it. And right now, Canucks fans are, for the most part, feeling good about a big win over the Calgary Flames. Let's take a quick phone call. Let's go to Victoria, where we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hey, Sad, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, man.
This year. So, it was a gutsy effort from a team that played a back-to-back and really dogged it out without Elias Pettersson, DP there, and Forbert, who looked like he was injured as well. And then, I mean, Hughes in his first game back, you know, playing almost 30 minutes, just unbelievable stuff. I want you guys to talk about Hoglander's game. I mean, just in the middle of everything and finally has Tocchet's confidence. And last thing I just want to say is, you know, I think Petey's back and the haters cannot eat it.
Hey, Raymond, great stuff, man. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And, you know, listen, a lot of Canuck fans want to see Pettersson have success. There hasn't been a lot of reasons to get excited, but 3 goals in 4 games, goal, assist, shootout goal, big performance. And we'll play what he had to say. We'll play what Rick Tocchet had to say. But when we come back, we are going to play you the thoughts of the Canucks captain, Quinn Hughes, a triumphant return to the lineup, fired up in his post-game comments, and defended a certain teammate who's taken a lot of criticism so far this year. We'll get to that and more on the Canucks Central post-game show after a huge 4-3 shootout win in Calgary over the Flames. Get your thoughts into our text them box, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, on the Canucks Central post-game show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. Quinn Hughes' thoughts next on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Niels Hoglander. Driving to the red line, Hoglander, left wing for DeBrusk, across the Calgary line, trying to pass to the back door, out of the reach of Elias Pettersson, who gets it right corner. Pettersson to the line, Mancini, long wrist shot, stop, rebound, they score! Elias Pettersson to the side of the net, beats a sprawling Dustin Wolf after Mancini got it through on net from the line, and the Canucks tie the game at three with 6:44 left in the third.
And that's exactly what the Canucks needed with 6 minutes and 44 seconds left. This play starts in the neutral zone as Nils Hoglander enters the zone, and a good job by Jake DeBrusk and Elias Pettersson to get the puck to the point. Victor Mancini with a simple wrister, a heavy shot through that makes its way through, and Dustin Wolf spills the rebound, and Elias Pettersson is waiting to his left to slot that one home to make this a 3-3 game, a much-needed goal for the Vancouver Canucks and their top line.
Massive, massive goal for the Canucks. Sends them to overtime. They win in a shootout, 4-3 over the Calgary Flames. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting.
We got a text in here, 650-650, saying, from Nate from Comox, Kubota is a synonym for Quinn Hughes. They both do the heavy lifting.
Oh, nicely done. Go. Nicely done. You are listening to Sportsnet 650. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. And listen, we mentioned, we'll get to your thoughts, and Bic read one there. We'll try to get a couple more in here before we run to some audio, because I do want to play Quinn Hughes' thoughts right away, and I think it's big, especially in a game like this and what he had to say. Adrian from Langley keeps it short and succinct. Lankinen is a stud, so he's getting some love. What else are you seeing in the text inbox before we hear from the Canucks captain?
650-650. Again, so much Mancini text coming in tonight, and well-deserved. Dan and North Van, really like Mancini tonight. Big, skilled, moves the puck well, definitely better than what we've had in that spot. Babbage Stash, fellas, was at the Dome, deep in enemy territory tonight. Lots of Canucks fans showed up. Support is still there for a big game like this, and they stepped it up. Huge W, biggest game of the year so far, and they answered that bell. Let's go. This one, Jeff in North Van, still up and downs, but he was absolutely amazing and inspiring. Not happy Calgary took so many shots at him with lukewarm response from us.
Yeah, we'll try to talk about that a little bit, but as far as Quinn Hughes is concerned, here he is post-game talking to Ryan Leslie after the big win in Calgary, and listen to what he has to say about number 40 on the Canucks roster as well. Here he is.
Well, maybe no surprise, Quinn. These two teams go tooth and nail at one another all night, and it goes the distance. What did you think of the way your team performed and the way Connor finished it off?
Yeah, obviously a clutch goal there, you know, a point we needed badly. And, I mean, they're a competitive group. That's why they're in the position that they're in. So credit to them. But, you know, we're a competitive group too.
For sure. And you play over 29 minutes, and you come back into the lineup. I know that was huge. It looked from our vantage point like you were feeling it all night. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I've never really, I've been really lucky in my career where I, the most games I missed in a year is 6 games, and obviously had, you know, some complications this year that I didn't foresee. So, you know, thankful that I was able to, you know, feel good out there and play the way I wanted to play. And as far as, you know, next couple games, just feeling it a little bit more, and, you know, it'll come back to me quickly.
Got to ask you about Elias too, right? He's a guy who's kind of streaking right now. Yeah. He's fine in the back of the net. He's contributing as well. What did you think of his performance and what he means to the group, especially when you're not there?
I mean, really happy for him. Took a lot of crap this year, and, you know, we obviously need him at this point in time with 17 games left, and showed up today, you know, brought his A game, and we're going to continue to need him to do that, but obviously proud of him, and he's a competitive guy too. You know, you don't get to the level that he's gone to without having that, you know, inner jam and desire. So it's been a hard little run for him, but he's a great player, and he's going to be just fine, and you saw it tonight.
Appreciate the time. I know you're right back at it. Thanks for this.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Canucks captain Quinn Hughes after a massive game for the Canucks tonight in a 4-3 shootout win over the Calgary Flames, and throwing a lot of bouquets at number 40, Elias Pettersson. You know, took a lot of crap this year, showed up today, brought his A game, proud of him, competitive player. You don't get like that as good as he is without being competitive. And just talked about how great a player he is and really stuck up for his guy. That was, and I'm sure if you're Pettersson, and he's a guy that responds to like positive, like, that's got to be a nice moment there for the for him, for Pugh, showing each other some confidence. And that's what you need. If we talk about the Canucks turning this around and actually making the playoffs, Hughes has to be healthy in there, but they need EP 40. And tonight, whether it was his best game of the season or not, this was the most, I'd say this was his most timely performance of the year by far. Like this was the most, like, if you want to call it clutch or whatever you want to call it, like, this was a game they needed him to step up in, and he stepped up in it.
There was a point I was making earlier on the People Show is we're looking ahead to this game, and it's a big one. Yeah, you needed him to have, okay, maybe it wasn't his best game because he's had a three-point game against Detroit, but it needed to be in the conversation of, okay, that was the best game he's had all year. And to also propel you moving forward here, these last 17 games. And you hear Quinn Hughes reference that. It's like, yeah, he's taken a lot of stuff this year, but we need him for these last 17 games if we're going to make a push. And this one obviously was such an important game, and he gets a goal and he gets an assist. Given the stakes, and again, I know he had two goals against San Jose in December. Like, the 2 points tonight, far more impactful given who the opponent is, given the states, given the environment. Yeah, this is going to go up there with one of his best games of the season, but it has to keep happening right now. I know we're getting some Pettersson back text, but you and I have chatted about that. It's like, you're not going to be able to do that in just one game. Just keep stacking these up over the rest of the way here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of love for Pettersson, right? And Pardeep, he was at the game saying it was a bit dicey for a bit wearing a Canucks jersey in the dome, but a huge win. DPD hit was electric. PD had 3 points, but still looked a bit soft and disengaged at times. He wants to see him take another step still and needs more from Pettersson. We know he's still capable of more than what he's done, but as far as coming through on the bottom line part of it, a big one. Goal, assist, scored in the shootout. Did a bit of everything for the team tonight, and I mean, it came up huge. But there was more to his game. There's a reason he got 11.6, and not because he can score 3 goals in 4 games and have 2 points in a game. It's because he can be amongst the best in the league.
Because he can have 85 over 82. Yeah, that's why.
And it's like, what we want to see from him is really take it to the next step, but it's kind of like taking the step. This must be a huge confidence booster, right? Like, if you're looking at building your confidence up, getting into form, getting on a roll, and we'll play his thoughts coming up in a little bit too when he met with the media, but that's what you're looking out for here for, right? You're looking for him to really own this and really go supernova for once this campaign.
If he gets hot at the right time, Rick Tocchet mentioned it, like, you've seen guys have average seasons and then pull it together right at the end or into playoffs, and suddenly that remedies all the frustrations that you can have through 60 games. That's what's necessary, and that's the task. He's going to have to be a point of game here, especially when this team is struggling to score goals. They get, quote-unquote, 4 tonight because they get the shootout bump, but we'll still chalk it up as 3. It technically goes down in the register as 4, but as far as doing it in regulation, they haven't quite done that since end of January. But I'll read the text here about Pettersson. Puff, Petey's back. 3 goals in 4 games. Been showing up recently. We really needed this win. Bal from Surrey. And they said they traded the wrong guy. That one's coming in from Bal.
Hey, if you're having a lot of fun here. And we're going to get this because the show is not going to be as long tonight with overtime and a shootout and all that. But Garland doesn't get enough credit. Love the energy he brings every night as an unsigned Texan. And he won the game for them. Got the game-winning goal with a shootout winner to help the Canucks propel past the Calgary Flames. Let's go back to the phone boards and take a couple calls here before we hit the break. Let's go to Mexico, where we have Jake on the line. Jake, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Let's go.
What do you have for us tonight? Jake. All right, we'll try Jake again, so he's not there. Let's go to LA. We'll try Jake again. We'll see. All right, Jake, what's happening?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We got you, buddy. Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm out here at Mexico. We actually, I'm on vacation here, and I'm just a complete degenerate hockey fan. So I was at the bar there. I watched the game with my wife, and there's actually 6 to 8 Canucks fans here today, and there was 12 yesterday at the bar watching the games, which was pretty wild. But yeah, man, I just want to call in and just give Pettersson some love, man. Like, he's had a tough year, but I don't think anybody is going to care if he rips it up in the last 17 games or whatever is left. And literally, that's all I just wanted to say is just go Canucks go. I hope they make a nice push here, and it's back to the tequila shots. The guy screened me before I came on. I'm okay.
Get after it.
Hey, Jake, listen, man, you always call in, have good thoughts when you call in from Langley, and even better thoughts from Mexico. I like it. Good stuff, buddy.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You guys are a great show, so I just love calling in from time to time. But yeah, go Canucks go, man. Hopefully Petey keeps ripping it up. Cheers.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks so much. That is Jay calling in from Mexico. Let's take one more phone call before hitting the break. Let's go to L.A. where we have Dawn on the line. Dawn, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hi. Yeah, it's just an amazing game. I was just screaming my head off. You know, I have roommates. I couldn't believe how great the Canucks were today. I think this could be a turning point in game. They seem to be really anticipating one another and really playing as a team. And I don't even know if it was Tocchet, but just the whole team was really getting it together. I got to say, though, it would be really nice to be able to protect Quinn Hughes because he's just really getting nailed a lot. On his own, he's getting some terrible hits. You know, it'd be really nice to protect him more. Somebody ready without having to take penalties, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Calgary was doing that. You know, they were really protecting one another, perhaps too much, you know, around their own goal net. But I was just really amazed at this game. This seemed like the best game all season. Did you feel that way too?
Well, hey, Don, I'm with you. It was the most meaningful game of the season. The stakes were as high as they've been, and I thought the Canucks were incredible in the third period. Thanks for your phone call. And I get what Don means by wants to see the Canucks have more of a response. And during the second intermission, Bick, when the Canucks were down heading into the third and they had blown two leads in this game already, the overwhelming thoughts for a text inbox was the Canucks are soft. Hughes is getting run. Nobody's standing up for him. What is going on? You have to protect your captain. So that was a real strong sentiment a lot of fans had. I don't think it was the best game of the season, but considering the drama, considering the theater, it was the most theatric game of the season. Would you put it that way? Considering the stakes, like what was on the line, I'd say she's calling in from LA. It was a Hollywood night, I would say, as far as the game goes, right?
Everyone loves a redemption story
and
a comeback story. And so for this to be the first one of the season, now 1-19-4 when trailing after two. So it gets people fired up. And yeah, like I think there's definitely games where they've played better over the course of 60 minutes. We can talk about a Toronto game here and there, both Toronto games. So they've had better complete efforts. But given the nature of this game, we spent all day, I'm sure you did it on your show, I did it on my show, like it felt like a must win and the team was approaching it as such, and so you needed to see an engagement level, and that's why that second period was concerning. It started to slide a bit. Calgary up there is on top of it, including some of the pushback on Quinn Hughes through that second period. But then there's the response in the third period. Can you pick up the tempo? And Calgary sagged off a bit, and so the opportunities were generated there as well. But nevertheless, if the team is not pushing their tempo, can you raise yours and start to create those chances for yourself? And they certainly did that en route to that 4-3 win.
Yeah, they certainly did. And a big victory for the Canucks here tonight. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll take more of your thoughts on the other side. We'll try to get to more of your phone calls. We are going to hear from Rick Tocchet. We are going to hear from Elias Pettersson, hopefully Ian McIntyre, plus a lot more on the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is the Canucks Central Post Game Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Connor Garland to win it for the Canucks a day after his 29th birthday, and he'll skate wide onto the left wing. In on Dustin Wolf. Garland in the slot. He scores! Connor Garland wins it in the shootout for the Canucks. It's a smash and grab in Calgary. And Vancouver wins for the first time this season when trailing after two periods. The final score, the Canucks 4 and the Flames 3.
What a response by the Vancouver Canucks in the third period and overtime. They get the job done in the shootout. And this game had a little bit of everything. Drama, chippiness. You had a comeback and you had star players step up for the Vancouver Canucks when they needed it most. Elias Pettersson gets the game-tying goal. Kevin Lankinen with some big saves in the shootout.
And here, Connor Garland with a happy belated birthday present to himself to get the game-deciding goal in the shootout.
Big game from Connor Garland, gets the winner in the shootout in the Canucks. 4-3 victory over the Calgary Flames, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's Sat and Bick. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to the phone boards coming up in a moment as well. A lot of reaction, a lot of excitement, and fans are more upbeat about what they saw from the Canucks. And, you know, winning changes everything, and it's only one win. It doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it up, but winning makes you feel a lot better, and that's kind of the sense we're getting here. Andrew in Newfoundland says, Elias Pettersson over a point per game next year, 90 points at least. So back in on the Pettersson bandwagon for next season. That's Andrew texting in.
It's like that line from Bull Durham.
I love winning, man. You know, like how it's better than losing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's feels great. Winning's awesome.
I love this text from MD from Richmond. He says, PD is a beast again. And when you look at his text box, his previous text was from last month and says, PD sucks. So I get what you mean there, MD from Richmond. It's kind of funny to look at it. And that's kind of been, you know, I've seen a lot of people say people have turned on Pettersson. And I think, you know, maybe some have, of course, right? But I see a lot of fans that are critical but are begging to jump back on the bandwagon, begging to believe again, right? And tonight he gave them a reason.
At the core, all people want is like points, good efforts,
yeah,
and some wins. And so, yeah, like maybe some people have turned, but you play like you have for the past four games. Mm-hmm. That's how you change a narrative for your season. And that's the baseline here. And we had a text here. I apologize if I lost it because there's so many texts coming in here right now. But just in general, here from Pierre. If Pettersson had started playing the year the way he is in his honest interview, would anyone be down on him? And yeah, like if he had been playing even at like a slightly below point of game pace, it'd be frustrating. But a lot of people would say like, okay, it's just kind of like flip. It just like right now it feels the flip has to be so big,
yeah,
to overturn what happened through 60 games. But look, you can't change what's happened now. You can only be better here moving forward. So here's goals in three of the last four. That's progress. That's, yeah, a step. And now you just have to keep making these leaps and bounds and push this team towards the playoffs to give yourself a chance to, again, you have a good, strong playoffs. If it's 6 games, 7 games, 13 games, you can change a narrative with, yeah, strong playoff performances. Because amidst everything, like the 100-point seasons and all that, the biggest concern people have is, hey, is this guy capable for a playoff,
yeah,
run? And 100-point seasons are fantastic. And I would argue guys who do that show, I'll use Quinn Hughes' quote, and I used this almost line directly or previously in the past, like guys who have had 100-point seasons, you go through the list, it is people who have a certain level of desire,
yeah,
and a certain level of competitiveness in there. To get to that level is almost impossible. But some guys have done it, and the list of guys that have done it are 100 or Conn Smythe winners, Art Ross winners, Hart Trophy winners, Stanley Cup winners. Almost all of them go to a cup final at some stage in their careers. So for him to have done that in recognition from Quinn Hughes, like, it requires dedication to go do something as like 100-point seasons. It's not just, oh, I'm showing up and I've got all this goal in the world, yeah, and whatever. It shows a certain level of dedication. It just has to manifest more frequently right now for Elias Pettersson.
Well, that's what Quinn said. You know, you don't become the player he is without being competitive. And Raymond says, I may be overreacting, but tonight just shows if you trade Petey, Quinn is gone as well. So the tide turning on Elias Pettersson, at least in our text inbox so far this evening. Let's go back to the phone boards and take a couple calls. Let's go to Delta, where we have Murray on the line. Murray, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us here tonight after a 4-3 Canucks win in a shootout against Calgary?
Yeah, hey guys. I'll make like three quick points and I'll hang up. The first one is, you know, there's sure a fine line between overachieving and underachieving. I mean, could you imagine with Calgary, like, they're overachieving. Nobody ever thought they would be there this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were 5 points less, the knives would be out for Huberdeau. He's got 46 or 47 points, making 10.5. You know, and hey, great. But they don't notice that because they're overachieving. Like, the Canucks this year are underachieving. Or you just take away last year out of the equation and remember the previous 10 years. Second point, is you sure don't hear much anymore about the college free agent. That was always such a big thing. I mean, maybe last year wasn't much, but years prior, there was always that one or two or three, you know, they might sign this guy, they might sign, not necessarily the Canucks, but you don't hear much about that anymore. And lastly, guys, you know, the Canucks accrued all that cap space all year long by being diligent about sending guys down when they had a homestand, et cetera. And I'm surprised that, however they don't do this kind of business, that they weren't in on brokering some kind of a deal to get a draft pick to take on a crappy contract till the end of the year so to help somebody else move along. But they don't do that kind of business. But which gets me to kind of think is Aquilini involved in this stuff again? Like it just got Aquilini's fingerprints all over this, them not doing nothing. Anyways, guys, that's all I got. Have a good show.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate what you're saying. We talked a lot about that accruing the cap space, and it's unfortunate that they weren't able to spend it on anything, right? They didn't make use of it. The process of getting the cap space, there's nothing wrong with them trying to accrue cap space. I think that endeavor and the process was fantastic. They just didn't do anything with it.
And something you should always be doing, yes. Especially with the benefit of having the AHL team just down the road. It's not onerous travel by any sort of means, so... Like that's a standard that should be continuing all of the time for the Vancouver Canucks here moving forward. But yeah, like it was my frustrations on deadline two. And I know people were frustrated with the Besser and Suter stuff, and it's not the course of action I wanted to see, but at least I could build a reality. It's like, okay, I understand it. You want to go compete and you have to go make the playoffs. I can understand that. The cap accrual, when you don't use it, then it just feels like cost-saving measures. If it's a real strategy to go do something, then okay, I can get behind it. But when you don't do anything with it,
no, for sure,
it's pointless.
Yeah, at the same time, though, like if what you had to do with it was pay assets for rentals, do you want to do that? Again, the team hasn't played well enough to buy rentals, right? Like, I totally understand that. They didn't want to sell their guys. And, you know, for all this talk, you know, about playoffs and high draft picks, and yeah, listen, everyone can use a high draft pick. There's no doubt about that. It's very valuable for an organization. But... we're not talking about the 2016 Canucks, 2017 Canucks, where the only young guy worth anything was Brock Besser, and then Bo Horvat was part of the team. Those are only two guys, and the team was really built around all the veterans, and they weren't going to get anywhere. And it's like, to what end does the playoffs help you? To your point about Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, another chance at the playoffs would be valuable. Hughes, playoffs, valuable. DPD, Lekkomäki, Mancini, all these guys getting a chance. And the Canucks, for all this talk about, you know, they need to revamp themselves, and I do agree, they need to add talent to the team, but they're one of the youngest teams in the league all of a sudden. We're not talking about some old hockey team. So when you have a young team and a bunch of guys in their early 20s, in their mid-20s, making the playoffs has value. I'm not saying they're a cup contender. I'm not saying that it's the end-all, be-all for this team. But considering where they find themselves, there is value for this group of players and the players that need to prove themselves in the postseason to get another crack at it. So we'll see how that goes.
You've sent some concern into the text inbox here, 650.
What did I say?
By saying, you know, we can see the whole history of people. Entire Dan in Vancouver. I, for one, never doubted PD. Like, ever. Trust me. Just like you don't have to check my history. Trust me. I promise. Never, ever, ever. Pinky swear. There's a couple of people texting. You guys can check our entire text. Oh, boy, can we ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, you can text in whatever you want. I'm not saying you should change your texting habits. Yes. But you know how when you text somebody, there's a chat for you and that person the number? That's how our text inbox looks now. So each person, and when you put your name in, we'll put your name in. So we have your contact, you know?
We know everything
that's going on.
Yeah, we're like Woody in Toy Story. We see everything. We're pro accountability. So if you come in here with takes that's like, you know, I saw that text from 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's take one more phone call before we hit the break. Let's go to Omar in Vancouver. Omar, what do you have for us tonight?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we got you.
Cool. It's another PD comment. Well, making the playoffs is great, but more important than that is PD finding his game, and we're seeing that. You know, he's here for another 8 years, and, you know, the team's future kind of depends on him. He's not the most important guy, uses, but his staying depends on PD finding his game and us being competitive, and, you know, the center is arguably the most important position. Mm-hmm. And him finding it is more important than this year's playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
And the second point I have is I love Suter, you know. I hope they sign him. But whose decision was it to play him on the shootout. You know, he's not the best finisher. I was a bit surprised by that, but yeah, I love talking to you. I mean, you know, but that was my second place.
All right. Hey, appreciate the phone call, Omar. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, I think on the whole Pettersson thing, that's we're getting a lot of it. Bob and Vic sent this text message in. It says, I think people recognize that Petey can be a cornerstone, and we're upset he didn't see it, bring it earlier, Bob and Vic. And I think that's part of it. High expectations for big players, and you want them to come through, mm-hmm. and they don't. That, you know, it's jarring. But again, it's not, I don't want to say it's just one game, because, you know, he scored three goals in four games now, right? He's done a lot better. But, you know, to that point, it's not, I can't sit here and say, oh man, like he's turned the season around. So it's like, there's still a lot of time left. And to your point, if he has a strong finish, helps this team make the playoffs, plays well, then we can look here and say, you know what? He salvaged this season. But at the very least, he seems to be on that track. Now stay on track and finish strong, right? That's what you want to see.
This one, 650. Does anyone remember Kovalchuk's disaster season in 2010-12 when he had 60 points? He signed that $100 million contract in the summer leading up to that year. Does that sound familiar? He came back the next season and had 83 points. Let's hope Pettersson follows the same course.
Yeah, and Tyler Langley says, you guys remember when we couldn't have a conversation about Garland without bringing up his contract? Now he is a value player. That's going to be Petey in 2 years. So a lot of positivity around Elias Pettersson. And this text message here says, this is like Dan's licking comment. A surprise that you guys can see our text messages from before. Listen, nothing surprised me more than what Dan Riccio had to say last night, but we'll leave it at that.
The amount of people apologizing. Sorry, I didn't know about this. I thought these takes were just anonymous, shouting into the void.
Hey, listen, we don't expose this to anybody. Don't worry about it. I'm just saying, it was funny that I saw the one text from somebody saying, Petey's a beast, and their previous text from last month was, Pettersson sucks.
I know our guy, Jamie Dodd, sits up late at night going through people's text histories. Be like, he said what? I can't wait till that guy texts in tomorrow.
I saw a reply to somebody once. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just kidding. Just joking. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll take more of your phone calls. And we are going to get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach, Rick Tocchet. Haven't got the audio yet. More coming up on the postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment after a 4-3 shootout win in Calgary over the Flames. It's Sat and Bick on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hughes to the left circle, back to Elias Pettersson, right wing with a one-timer, and he ripped it over the goal. Hughes holds in left point. He'll cut back to the middle of the line. Plays give and go with Elias Pettersson. Here's Hughes, high slot, wrist shot. He scores! Tipped in front by Jake DeBrusque. And the Canucks strike to the power play to take a 2-1 lead with 9:28 left in the second.
The Canucks strike back as there's some chippiness right after this goal. Rasmus Anderson went after one of the Canucks.
It was Jake DeBrusque he was giving it to.
Didn't like the fact that DeBrusque was in front of the net tipping this one home, but the Canucks do an excellent job to set up the power play first through Elias Pettersson. Gets the one-timer off. Isn't able to score on that one, but Quinn Hughes patrolling the blue line, doing a good job going back and forth with Elias Pettersson with the puck, and eventually gets this shot through as he walks into space. The Calgary Flames give him room, and he makes him pay, and Jake DeBrusque right in front of Dustin Wolf gets a deflection, a double deflection, first off a Calgary defender, and then DeBrusque to make it 2-1. And Quinn Hughes and Rasmus Anderson are the ones that actually got into this. Anderson went after Hughes, probably alleging a little bit of a dive there, as Ryan Lomberg was talking about that after the penalty, but I don't think Quinn Hughes cares. It's 2-1 Vancouver.
Canucks go on to win 4-3 in a shootout over the Calgary Flames. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar.
I got some questions for Flames game ops there. So they scored. You can hear in the background on the in-game or in-arena music. Sounds like that David Guetta song, I'm Good. It's like you just got a goal scored against you. You're playing I'm Good?
As in, like, we're good. We're not worried about it. We're good. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
It's a goal against.
Yeah.
Hey, you're like, down 2-1.
But that's like brushing it off, right? It's like,
hey, I'm good.
Yeah, you don't worry about it. You just start singing along and move forward. But, yeah, it didn't work out for the Flames.
Plus,
right?
The song's from, like, the original track is I'm Blue. They're red. Blue. Like, what's going on here? Everything about it is
it's
wrong.
It's Calgary, man. It's Calgary. Just leave it at that.
You sounded like the end of Chinatown. Forget it, Vic.
Forget it.
It's Vic. Calgary.
It's Calgary. It's China. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. And like I said, I have a soft spot for Edmonton because I worked out there. Not so much for Calgary. I'm kidding. Calgary's fine. Scott and Dave in West Kelowna both giving Mancini some love and talking about how well he played. The thing I like the most about him, you know, we talk about his traits. He skates really well, right, Vic? And he's got a nice shot. But that shot, he gets it on net and it's heavy. He keeps it low and it creates rebounds. And not only did Pettersson score off the rebound from the Mancini shot.
He had one right after.
Right afterwards, too. And he's shown a good ability to get that shot through, and he gets it low, and he gets it through traffic, and he creates rebounds. That's such an important aspect of getting point shots through as a defenseman, and he has that. And we'll see what he becomes. I'm not trying to sit here and talk about he's this or he's that, but I liked how he played tonight. Over 18 minutes, really strong defensively, strong offensively. And he wasn't overly sheltered. You can't on the road in a game like this. You have to play minutes, and he came up
especially when you're down to five guys, right? Yeah. And you're short right-handed guys as well. They played four lefties.
Myers was out.
And Elias Pettersson obviously leaves the game. And we're talking about a handful of games, quite literally. This was his fifth game. Ends up getting his first point as a Canuck. And, yeah, there's so much love coming for him in the inbox. But you just see, like, that first game, it didn't look smooth. But every game, like this, again, we're talking about a handful of games. This has been a lot of growth in short order here for Victor Mancini. And like that play, and we'll do the game review here in a second, or the goal review here in a second, but I just like the poise. Just wait for a second, take a beat, find that shot, get it through. And then the one right after as well creates a huge net jam, and Suter unlucky to not bury that one. But you just see that he's creating something. And because he's got natural, you know, movement traits, and the shot looks like it plays too. He looks like he can make some passes. So that's another, you know, mobile style guy. And this is the development path you want to see for someone in that spot with Rick Tocchet, with Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar. Certainly a lot to work with there.
Well, okay, so let's do a quick one of the Canucks goals. We don't have time, and we have to do a three stars as well. So let's do the three goals. The first goal the Canucks scored, they opened up the scoring in this game. And, you know, to give Vancouver credit, and speaking of which, I have to get you something here too, Eddie, for the pay of the game. But we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. We haven't done that yet. I just remembered. But a big thing here for the game for Vancouver was getting that first goal. And, you know, we talk a lot about somebody having to step up and do something. And the guy who does to make it 1-0 is none other than
Hugh Suter,
who got another career high with 17 on the season now.
Yeah, and, you know, this whole play, it starts with Hedl taking a drop pass. He gains the zone, and he just slams on the brake as soon as he enters the zone, and he sends it to the far boards for Suter to collect onto it. He sends it to Hronek. Quick shot goes off Zeri was coming out of the box, and so he has to get a quick shot off as he's closing from behind, and it bounces to Marcus Pettersson, who just quickly fires it across the ice to Suter, and you watch this play. Suter goes to take a one-timer, ends up going off the skates of Hanley, and it bounces right back to Suter. But you watch Dustin Wolf come across after that Marcus Pettersson pass, and he kind of overextends. He's trying to get across powerfully and quickly, and he goes past the net a little bit. And so that initial shot gets blocked. Now he's got to recenter. He almost corrects too much, and he gives that short side up, and Suter just picks that spot over the shoulder and Canucks up early.
Yeah, and Calgary did tie it up at 1-1, and then afterwards the Canucks did retake the lead on the power play, Pettersson to Hughes, and a nice tip by Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, and Quinn Hughes just doing things that are difficult, but he makes it look so easy. There's a Pettersson one-timer, goes off the backboards, rims around to Quinn Hughes, and Huberdeau's closing on him, but just the way Quinn Hughes takes it off the wall while retreating, like he charges hard to the wall to meet the puck and then retreats so well off of it, skates his puck to the middle, gets it to Elias Pettersson. Huberdeau has no chance to close on him. He's moving to the puck with speed, and he says, you know what, I'm not even going to bother chasing this guy to the top of the zone. He collapses on Besser, and it opens up space back to Quinn Hughes, who takes it from Pettersson, walks into the space, and he shoots right between Huberdeau and Besser, who are battling. They separate, and it's going for Wolf's gloves, but so is DeBrusk's stick, and he gets a tip on it 2-1.
Yeah, and then you mentioned how Pettersson scored the goal to make it 3-3, and we know the shootout winner by Connor Garland, and that leads us to the game review and the end of it there. And, you know, we don't have a ton of time to go through everything else that Calgary did. We have to try to get everything in here, but we're debuting the three stars tonight. I know fans weren't happy with the three stars in Calgary, so we're doing our own. And the way we're doing the three stars tonight is the first star of the game is going to Elias Pettersson. Second star of the game is going to Quinn Hughes. Third star of the game is going to Jonathan Huberdeau had two goals, shorthanded, power play, good game from him. Unfortunately for Calgary, did not lead to a win. And that is brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor. Angry Otter Liquor carries a huge selection of locally crafted beer, wine, and spirits. Shop local, drink local, enjoy local at Angry Otter Liquor.
You're a 1-2-3 guy, eh? Not a 3-2-1.
Yeah,
you don't build up to the first.
No, let's start with a 1-2-3. Oh, well, we could do that differently next time. You know, again, we have to get things in and out.
I've known Sat for 8 years. I'm just learning some things here. It's like, you're a quick reveal guy.
In this situation, I am, because we got to get the things quick. Kristen Duncan says this: EP40 sucks. No, he's back. Oh my God, he sucks. Wait, he's back. # Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. I see that. I see you working on it.
There you go.
Do we have Rick Tocchet available? All right, so I guess we don't have Rick Tocchet quite. Do we have Rick Tocchet or not? Do you want to do the 90 seconds Rick Tocchet or the full Rick Tocchet experience? We may not have time. So let's get, here's Rick Tocchet after the game. If we get more, we'll try to get it in here before we hit the end of the show. But here's Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
Yeah, I think what's most proud is, you know, we went down with 5D early in the game. That's hard to do. You know, killing penalties and stuff. You know, being down 3-2, obviously they had a really good second. Good third, right? It's been reminded me a bunch of times we're the only team that hasn't come back in the third period, so at least we broke that goose egg. Well, he makes a difference. I mean, he's a world difference for us. He hasn't had a full practice. Been off that long. I don't know a lot of guys can do that. Not practice and then go in and play a game and be an impact that he is. So, like I said, I've always said I'm lucky to have him. Yeah, I think he's stringing some good games together. You know, we talked about not getting too high and too low. You know, sometimes the lows were really low, and it can affect as a player. Same thing now. He's getting his game together. But I can see him leaving after the game, shook his hand there. You know, good game, but it was like, hey, I got more to go. So, like, I like that. You know, he's got the even keel. He's going to put the work in, and, we'll continue to grind.
You mentioned going down to 5 defensemen. Any update on defensemen?
I'm sorry? He's being evaluated, you know, so we'll, I'll talk to the trainers here in a bit.
The forward, the center.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. Proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1971. Visit any of their 3 locations, talk to their in-house design consultants, or visit them online at mytiletown.ca. So the head coach, proud of how his team responded and fought back and was able to get the victory here tonight. And a big one for the Vancouver Canucks. I know a lot of fans have a lot of thoughts. Let's try to get some text in before we get to IMAC to close this one out here post-game. I know people said full, we want the full audio. I mean, listen, we have a time limit. There's only so much time we have to get all this stuff in, so we're trying to get it in here before we get to the end of the show.
Truncated post-game show today.
It is what it is, man. Long game, went to shootout, you know, ate up a lot of time. A Colin from Caribou says, if Villander joins the Canucks after his BU season finishes, is he eligible to play in the playoffs? Yes, he is.
Of course, yeah.
So if and when, it's a when, not an if, as long as he's healthy, if Villander joins the team, he'll come to Vancouver. His play is going to dictate how long he stays here and whether he ends up back in Abbotsford, but the plan is still for him to sign and get a bit of a taste this year. We'll see if that all kind of comes together, but
I'm excited to see him. Again, we're talking about some guys, if they make the playoffs, Elias Pettersson, Lekker, Mackey, Mancini, some young guys that can get some experience playing in tough environment. I'd be pumped up to see Willander as well. Again, we're talking about a traitsy player on top of this too, so It would be just fun to see him in the mix and just give him another credible body on that blue line. And we're talking about plans for next season. Technically, they don't need to do anything on the back end, right? You've got Hughes, you've got Pettersson, you've got both Pettersons.
Yeah.
You've got Hronek, Myers, Willander. You've got your 6. Forbert, does he return at a similar deal or a cheaper deal? So you can easily find 6 and 7 guys. So they've got the baseline for what their defense should look like next season.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Let's try to squeeze a phone call or two in before we get to IMAC. And let's go to Kelowna, where Bernie's been waiting patiently to get on. Bernie, thanks for calling in, bud. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, Sat Bick, I was out tonight, so I had to tape this game, but
watching it, it's the same old story as far as I'm concerned, that the Canucks in the off season have to find themselves a tough guy, a guy out there that can protect guys, star players like Hughes and the smaller ones like Garland and they're all their top players, because you know as well as I do is that when a tough guy is out there, the other players, they play bigger than what they are. So I think they need to have some protection, because I'm getting tired of watching these guys like Lomberg run roughshod over these guys and Rasmus Anderson mouthing off and stuff like that. If there was a tough guy out there, that wouldn't be happening. So I think that they'll fix all their issues in the off season. And I think one of the things they should look at is maybe adding a tough guy. Doesn't have to be too skilled, just a guy that's out there, doesn't plays minimal minutes, but he's just a presence. You know what I mean? Anyways, thanks, boys. Good call tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bernie. Thanks for the phone call. And, you know, people have been texting in about that as well, right? Somebody else texted in and said, I'm sure management has watched the team too, and they know what needs to be done to protect their stars, and they don't want that crap to happen again next year. That's an unsigned text. So a lot of fans echo in the same thing. Don called in from L.A. Others, somebody brought up the point, just go and get Ryan Reese for the end of the year. He won't play in the playoffs anyways. At least you protect your players. So it left a bit of a sour taste in people's mouths seeing Hughes perceived to have been pushed around tonight.
Patrick Helvin did joke that he can still make trades.
He can. Yeah, so he can. They just can't play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They can play in the rest of the regular season.
But he did make that reference.
He did.
So there you go.
He did. He did.
But yeah, there's a lot of thoughts coming in that Zeri needs to be suspended, which absolutely, like, especially upon review, we didn't catch it live in real time and certainly not in the intermission, but you see the clip afterwards and, yeah, that's a clean elbow right to the back of the head.
Yeah, it's dirty. Deserves supplemental discipline, 100%. Yeah. We'll see if it happens with the league. You never know. It's like spin the wheel of NHL injustice. You never know where it's going to land. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Juggy and Delta before we get to IMAC. Juggy, what's happening, buddy? What are your thoughts here after a win? Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
Awesome, man. Yeah, just three things really quickly. I don't know who wrote it on X, but remarkably, with the season that the Canucks have had, I mean, they still haven't lost three in regulation, which is kind of crazy to think about. I thought Joshua, you know, like last year before Joshua started scoring, he really started to play well, like getting to the net. Felt like he couldn't buy a goal, and then he started scoring. So hopefully, you know, he's really started to feel a lot more noticeable out there. And yeah, no, I thought Pettersson had another good showing today. If you want to make it sound even rosier, he's got like, what, 3 points in two games? So yeah, that's great. And yeah, it was a great game overall, but great listening to you boys.
Appreciate it, Juggy. Great as always, man. Thank you very much. And hey, you know what? Like, it's when the Canucks win and their star players play a lot better, it makes it for more fun. It makes it more interesting, you know, and we've talked a lot about Pettersson this year. Like, all of us want to see him turn his game around. It comes down to your level of confidence that he's going to do it and is going to be able to do it. And, you know, I think we're all hesitant to say he's back after a couple of good games or whatever, but like, he's starting to string things together better than he has at any point this season, at least in terms of overall effectiveness and the way he's looked. Is it going to be enough? Remains to be seen, but it was a big one tonight. They needed him, and he got two big points, scored the goal in the shootout as well. I know others still want to see more from him, but you know, you can't sit here and say it's not enough when you help along a big victory here.
At 5-on-5 tonight, he was on the right side of the expected goals per natural stat trick. He was on evens for high danger chances, creating three himself, but yeah, like that third period was big for him, and he gets that goal, and he helps to set up the DeBrusque goal as well. So, you know, don't know if it's full turning of the corner, but maybe he sees the light at the end of the tunnel and can keep improving.
Yeah, Ray from Olympic Village, who doesn't need to sign his text because we have it saved, we know. Tough guy, Jujar, call him up. And he signed. He's an AHL contract.
Yeah, it's an AHL contract.
So
yeah,
it's one of those things. All right, without much further ado, let's get to the man we call the triple threat. You watch him on TV, read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Well, that was some kind of game.
It really was. I mean, okay, it may have not been the best hockey game of the season, but in terms of drama, in terms of excitement, in terms of stakes, was it the most entertaining Hollywood-esque game of the season?
No, I wouldn't say that. But I would say it's the most important game of the season, and I'd say under the circumstances, the final 25 minutes for Vancouver, under the circumstances, might have been their best hockey of the season. With all the challenges, with what was at stake. That's why I say circumstances. They've played better. They've had some, it's hard to remember them. They actually have had a few outstanding games this year. But, you know, that was to keep their playoff aspirations from becoming something close to fantasy. You know, if they'd lost in regulation this game, the fact they finally found a way to win a game after trailing through 40 minutes, and just the way they dominated, right? They looked like a desperate team, and they were the team that earned those air quotes moments that Rick Tocchet has been talking about. You know, the tying goal by Pettersson, the shootout winner by Garland, and even Kevin Lankinen, who you know, didn't have, I think he faced four shots in the third, and that was it. So didn't have a whole lot to do, but still stopped the 2-on-1 in OT, and then stopped 3 of 4, made one more save than Dustin Wolf did in the shootout. So we'll see. It was kind of their season in microcosm where, again, when I say under the circumstances, you look at the challenges of this game, starting without Myers, finishing without young Pettersson, Quinn Hughes playing. I mean, Tocchet said he'd take 80%. Quinn Hughes, I don't think Quinn Hughes is anywhere near 80%, but played 29 minutes, had an assist, controlled play when he was on the ice, and then just the push from the team. It was kind of their season in microcosm, where there's a lot of things that were going against them, but they survived it. Now they have 17 more games, and can they do something more than just survive?
Wait, do you think he looked less than 80%? Because I thought he looked better than his previous return. And yeah, for me, it was another chapter in the Quinn Hughes lore.
I think he looked less than 80%. I don't think he was as obviously trying to protect his body and spin away from traffic and not take chances as he was tonight when he played those games. His first game back on that road trip, and, you know, I was there covering it. His first game back, I thought he was tentative. The next two games, he was flying all over the ice. And he wasn't flying all over the ice tonight, but he's still incredibly mobile with the puck. So, I don't think he's anything close to 80%.
What did you think of the way Pettersson played tonight?
You know, last night I just said I was going to not go overboard on Pettersson because, you know, it was one really good game. And you know, or maybe it was when he scored on the slap shot 3 games ago. Mm. But I've kind of been reserving judgment, staying off the Pettersson train, if that's what people are trying to get on board again, just because we've seen him play poorly for so long, and we need to see him play more well for more than just a couple of games. But tonight, I'm going to give him some love because I thought that was as much engagement as he's had. And what it seemed to me is that he really wanted to lead from the front tonight. He wasn't hiding in the back somewhere, letting other guys try and lead the team. He was trying to lead the team. And I thought he played a very good game. Certainly better than most of the games he's played, but it was at a key moment. You know, scoring in the third, scoring in the shootout to give them the early advantage. And you know what I like the most, and I don't know if anybody else has mentioned this or texted you about it. I liked that when he scored that goal in the third period, he was animated and fully engaged with his teammates and celebrating, pointing at Mancini, yelling, "Let's go." I love to see that because it shows that he's emotionally invested. And there's been a lot of games this year, it seems like he hasn't been. So tonight was a good night for the original Elias Pettersson, and now they need 17 more games like that.
And also a big night for the defense, right? Because obviously Elias Pettersson goes out, Quinn Hughes, as we briefly talked about, but also Victor Mancini steps up and 18-plus and gets the assist on that Pettersson moment, as you mentioned, and getting the shout-out from Elias Pettersson. But also had a moment right after that as well to generate the next goal. And just another sign for this management group that they've tried to find these guys. And so far through five games, like this one feels like a positive development.
Yeah, I mean, a long way to go, and one of the mistakes we often make in this market is that we heap too much praise on young players too soon, and you know, creates sometimes unreasonable expectations and other things. So again, just as I don't want to, you know, jump to the front of the Pettersson train sure. after four games, I'm not going to jump on the Mancini train either. Other than to say, he was acquired as a legit NHL prospect. I don't know if he was an A-grade prospect or B-plus, but he was acquired with the intent, and we know they'd already played games this season for the Rangers, unexpectedly so, but he had earned his way into an NHL lineup at the start of the year, what was supposed to be a Stanley Cup contending team. You know, he's got a ways to go, but this, yeah, he looked good tonight, and especially offensively. I like that he was going forward with young players. It's all about just learning to play. Like, most of them don't get here without having tools. Otherwise, nobody would have given you this chance. You wouldn't have been drafted. You wouldn't have been, you know, developed and have a chance to be in the NHL. But it's all about learning the game and managing the game and knowing when to go and when to not. And, you know, just let's, for instance, say the young Elias Pettersson made a poor play, a poor read on the Calgary tying goal in the first period. He went way too wide and left a huge gap for Kadri to skate through. In hindsight, though, maybe he was in the fog a bit after taking that terrible elbow in the head. I hope you guys, I trust you've talked a lot about that, because that was ridiculous. Yeah. That the four officials couldn't get together. If they just called it a major, as you know, an interim major, just so they could look at it when you see the replay, there's no way that that's a 2-minute minor penalty, and it ends up knocking Pettersson out. But it was, you know, in that moment, it was poor play. That's what happens with young players at times. And I mean, it happens with older players too. Pettersson and Myers, the third Pettersson and Tyler Myers have had their moments like that as well in these last few games. But for Mancini, you know, he's got the body, he's got the mobility, he's got the tools, it seems, certainly with the puck. So now he just has to learn to play. And I liked that he felt confident enough and he took advantage of the ice time. He seized the opportunity that Tocchet gave him to play a little bit more and had a strong game. And I liked especially that both on the goal for Pettersson and on the play, Vic, that you talked about just a couple of minutes later, how quickly he got his shot away. And I don't know that he's necessarily trying to score, but he got it away, you know, quickly and accurately on net, and it created chances for others. And to me, that in itself is a pretty smart play by a young player.
Yeah. And the final one here before I let you go, I think a guy that had to play huge minutes tonight and has played huge minutes since Hughes has been out has been Filip Hronek. And he was used in all situations tonight. He played almost 30 minutes. Hughes almost played 30 minutes. But they need somebody else to step up, especially when Hughes is in 100%. And I think at least 5-on-5 and in all situations, Hronek has really done that in recent games.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sad. And you know that I said last week, after that road trip. I guess maybe that was 2 weeks ago now. They blend together. There's a lot of games. Feels like we've been through a lot. Has this season been going on for 4 years now?
Yeah, it really feels like it. It feels like this season began when the pandemic started.
Yes, it feels like it. Man, there's been a lot that's happened. But you know that I said I thought Vronik was playing this as well. Hughes was out before he came back on that road trip. That I thought that Vronik had been fine, but to me, his failure, if you could call it that, is that he hadn't been able to elevate. You know, he hadn't been able to do more than what, you know, he does ordinarily at a time when the team really needed somebody to step up and be a number one defenseman, even if it's just on a temporary basis. I think the last few games have been about his best segment of play this season. And just as I, you know, described Pettersson tonight as looking like he wants to play from the front and lead the team, that's how Vronik has looked for several games now. And I thought he was that way again tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. And a strong game from him. Another strong performance from you on the postgame show, as always. Ian, I look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca. In what was the biggest game of the season, the biggest win for the Canucks, a comeback victory in the third, something we haven't seen this season. And we look forward to a back-to-back on the weekend on home ice. And we'll see you on Saturday at Rogers Arena, my friend.
I'll look forward to that. They've survived another game. They're still in it.
Yeah, they're still in it. They're still alive. And we have a big game coming up on Saturday against the Chicago Blackhawks. Thanks for your time, Ian.
Good night, fellas.
That is Ian McIntyre. Great stuff as always. And that brings us to the end of the show. A bit of a shorter one tonight because of the game running so late, but had a lot of fun. It was fun talking about a win, fun talking about Canuck players stepping up and having a good performance, and a lot of positivity. Hopefully that continues. A big back-to-back coming up, right? Chicago's a big game, and then Utah on Sunday. You know, it's great to get this victory, but got to keep things rolling. You know, it doesn't take much to lose hope. It doesn't take much to get hope, as you saw tonight with the Canucks winning, but you know, there's a lot of 17 games remaining on the season, and this one might go down to the wire. Big one coming up tomorrow.
They keep giving themselves a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
Here moving forward. And just being, you know, back even with the Flames, they have obviously a game in hand, but you know, with these two teams struggling their way through the playoff chase here, where it might reside around 90 points. You know Calgary's going to stub their toe at some stage through these last 19 games for them.
Yeah, and we'll see what the Canucks can do here, especially this weekend. Great stuff as always. He's Bick Nizar. Thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory, our producer, all of you for listening and participating. We're back at it again tomorrow. Bick's on the People's Show. I'm on Canucks Central. And this has been the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.